program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. We want to welcome you to today's broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. We're going on 26 and a, well, we're over 26 and a half years on our way to 27 years of being the pastor of that wonderful church. We're now in the final month. We're coming up on our sixth anniversary here later on this month of being on the radio program or on this radio station with the Refresh radio program and speaking a refreshing word, an encouraging word, a true word, an eternal word. It's a living word, a powerful word. Hopefully it's a liberating word and a word that attracts you to Jesus Christ. That's what our goal is here. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so we've been saying that for nearly 6 years now, and we want to thank you to everyone who has tuned in and listens on a regular basis. We want to say thank you to those who've listened and become a part of Merit Assembly of God. God has certainly taken us on a wonderful adventure here over the last 6 years. There are things that I never expected that I would be doing, and yet this platform has enabled Brevard County to touch the Ukraine. We sent about a half a container to a full container of goods to the war refugees in Ukraine several years ago. We were able to distribute a couple of trailers worth of hurricane relief supplies a few years ago when the water supply was cut off to the beaches. And we had listeners to the radio program that just showed up to start helping. And that was very encouraging. I will tell you, we donated some hurricane supplies of our own. We had some tarps and things like that that were just lying around. We took up an offering and sent cash to the Bahamas. We also sent those hurricane supplies through a ministry, and they have a distribution site right here in Brevard County, where we were having a little bit of challenge initially getting the logistics, and this was a ministry that was already positioned there. And last Thursday managed to take our hurricane supplies to get them. They're going to be going directly there. And there were times that they need some help loading and unloading. And so we're going to try and make some connections with them to see if we can find out more information, because you never know when you're going to get. They had a 53 foot semi tractor trailer that had to be unloaded. It was filled with vacuum sealed beds, brand new. There were some tents, some housing units that were self-erecting that had been donated. Those were going to be going to the Bahamas, as well as a lot of tangible goods as far as surviving groceries, clothes, tools, all of that sort of stuff. And so we're gonna see if we can find out more about that ministry and see if we can get in contact with them and help them, because I was thankful. I was told I was going to have to take it to Ocala. And so when we called to find out when they were going to be there, they said, hey, we're going to be in Titusville. We're in Titusville 2 days a week. And it was a Thursday, and I said, let's make this happen. And so we were able to do that. Today we're going to get back into the Word of God. We're talking about reasons not to lie. You know, sometimes a person hears something and says, God doesn't want me to lie. Good enough for me. Other people want to sit there and argue about it. And, well, is this a lie? Is that a lie? We want to be people of the truth. We want to be people who speak the truth in love. And so we're going to look at some of the reasons that we are not supposed to lie. We're not going to touch on everything in the book of Revelation. There's a whole lot of the devil lying in the book of Revelation. Let me just give you a little bit. In Revelation chapter 2, there were people inside the church, and the church tested the people's claims and found them to be liars. You shouldn't find liars in the church. I'm just saying. Shouldn't be con artists, liars, people who are practicing falsehood. You know, sometimes lying is meant to position you to take advantage, to be taken advantage of. Sometimes people will lie just for the fun of it. It makes them, sometimes they will share things with you that will make them seem like they know more than they know and more important than they are. But we ought to find humility. We ought to find truth inside the house of God. Revelation chapter 12 talks about that the devil deceives the whole world. In Revelation chapter 13, verse number 14, that one of the acts of deception will be that he will deceive by signs. And I will tell you, a lot of people look at this and say, well, if there are miraculous signs and wonders that are taking place, then we know that in the last days that the Antichrist is going to be doing some deceptive signs. So if we see miracles taking place, that must be done in the for the Antichrist. And I want you to know that's not the test that you use. The test that you use is who's getting the glory. Who's getting the glory? Is it drawing people to Jesus or is it driving people away from Jesus? And so we need to make sure that the signs and wonders that are being done are for the glory of God. Revelation chapter 18, that there's deception by sorcery. Revelation chapter 19, there's more deception by signs. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 3, I'll read this, and it says, "And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." Satan's ultimate goal is to deceive the nations. And in a great act of mercy at the end of the 1,000 or at the end of the tribulation, Satan is bound for 1,000 years to prevent him from deceiving. I really like that. Now, I will tell you this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to pray that there would be a spiritual authority and operation in your life from the throne room of heaven that is so powerful and so personal that Satan's deceptive capabilities are rendered useless in your life. Okay? If God can do it for 1,000 years, it says it in the book of Revelation, I believe it. And therefore, I know that he has the capability of binding Satan and rendering him ineffective and incapable of deceiving us for whatever period of time we need that to take place. And so I'm really, really excited about that. I will tell you that when I was a kid, we used to have nuclear bomb drills in our school. And they would have you go out and line up in the hall, and they would put your head in between your knees. And I will tell you this, from what I know about, you know, radiation, is if there was a nuclear bomb that had gone off, putting my head in between my knees probably wasn't going to save me. They would have just found a nice, neat row of corpses there if there was anybody left to find us. But that was a strategy, if you will. It was designed to bring confidence in a hopeless situation. But let me tell you what God revealed to me about that passage, and that is, when it talks about that he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, I realized at that point in time that God had the capability of snatching a nuclear warhead right out of the sky if he needed to prevent the destruction of the earth. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, this build up and all of this armament that is going on, the earth's going to destroy itself. And I read in the Bible, it's like, no, we've still got at least 1,000 years left. and so I know that there are some horrific atrocities that have taken place during war, but I found as a very young child that the destruction of the earth was not imminent. And I will tell you that all of the stuff that is being talked about the end of humanity and all of that, and then in the next period of 10 or 15 or even 100 years, I can tell you that teaching does not line up with the Word of God, and therefore it is false. It is false. It is not going to end. The Bible says it doesn't happen that way, and I believe the Bible. So, at the end of 1,000 years, verse number 8, and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. This is a verse. Let me just go back and read a few verses before that. So let me go to verse number 4. We'll read through verse number 10, Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has no part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and beloved and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So there's a couple of things that stand out to me. That is that even after 1,000 years of godly reign, where there is no satanic influence in society, there is no deception in society, there is no deception is permitted atmosphere here on earth for 1,000 years, and Satan is released from the bottomless pit, and within a short period of time, his ability to deceive people is running rampant throughout the earth. How acceptable do you think that humanity is if after 1,000 years of the earth finally having the godly reign that it was created to experience, how gullible is mankind that after 1,000 years of perfection, we, like Adam and Eve, will fall for the devil's deception in such a short period of time that it permeates throughout the entire earth, so that all of the nations are gathered together in unity against God. How much do we need Jesus? How much do we need the Spirit of Truth? operating in our life. I'm telling you that that capability that the devil has in the days ahead, he currently also has. So we need the Spirit of God if we are going to be empowered to such an extent that we will be prevented from being deceived. If it were, even the elect would be deceived. I'm telling you, we need the power of the living God operating in our life. I've met some skilled liars, some masterful liars, people who tell a lie, and when caught telling the lie, they feel no remorse. And yet they think that in so doing that they also have a relationship with God. How deceived are we? How easily can we be deceived as a group of people? Well, if you are like me and think that it's very easy to be deceived, then I think that we need the Spirit of God in operation in our life to an even greater extent to prevent us from being deceived. So I don't believe everything that anybody tells me except for God. You might think that that's a pretty stark. There's a tremendous track record that people have for not hitting the mark. God's the only one with a perfect mark, a perfect record of hitting the mark every time. And so him I trust. Now, the second thing that I want to point out from this is that when Satan goes out and he deceives the nations, that deception is used to position people in hostility towards God, enmity against God. They declare war against God, not so that they will be victorious, but so that they will be destroyed. You know, we talked about on yesterday's program that if you love life, if you want to see good days, that you put deception far away from you. We talked earlier in that program about, putting away all deceit, and that we'd have a desire like a newborn babe for the word of God. You know, that we would experience, if we had tasted and seen, that the Lord is gracious. Well, Satan must be a master deceiver, in order to convince people who've experienced 100,000 years of perfection under God's dominion and authority, says, no, if you really want to experience perfection, you need to wage war against God. How? Deceived. Not leading them to a greater quality of life, leading them to an eternity separated from God, where they, like he, will be eternal dwellers of the lake of fire. I watched a documentary decades ago, and basically it was a pretty well-known news personality. And yet when they did their documentary, if you weren't paying close attention, You wouldn't catch the act of deception. And the entire premise that documentary had was to try and undermine the credibility of the Bible. You know, Satan, in order to deceive Eve, had to undermine the credibility of what God had said. When he realized that there was not an accurate reflection on Eve's part of what God had actually said, then he just unleashed the flowering aspects, the intriguing aspects. You know, hey, God's actually holding out on you. God's actually holding out on you. You don't know what you're missing because God has you positioned in this place. He's actually trying to suppress you. Okay? What I have found oftentimes is that whenever people are trying to set others up for success, they are in actuality setting them up for failure. I've had a number of staff people that have worked for me through the years, and on two occasions, I had two of my staff, and you know, they were wonderful staff, and someone had come in and offered them a job that seemed, you know, too good to be true, and I told them, I said, that job sounds too good to be true. I'm not saying that those type of jobs weren't out there, but when they told me the size of the church and things like that, I said, it sounds too good to be true. And I also said this, if in actuality it is that good, do you need an assistant? Because at that point in time, they would have been making more than what Merit Assembly of God was able to support. That was my way of communicating to them. Look, that offer is better than what, you know, this church presents its pastor, and you're saying that it presents that to a staff pastor. And unfortunately, in both of those cases, the offer was too good to be true for both of them. And I mean, it was true to start, but it was never sustainable. And so I just want to encourage you to don't let the devil promise you some pie in the sky when you've got the perfection of a relationship with a God who loves you, who died for you, who rose again for you, who is right now interceding at the right hand of the Father for you, and he's coming back to get you, and he's going to dry every tear from your eye. He's going to take away every cell of sickness and disease and hardship and heartache and misery and temptation. None of that is going to be in heaven. That's the God that you serve. The devil cannot offer you perfection unless he's offering you perfect misery. So, don't believe. The Bible says this, he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. The devil can make all sorts of claims, all sorts of boasts, but he has no ability to deliver anything except for destruction and heartache. 1,000 years, society had perfection. And within a short period of time, they thought that what the devil was offering was something worth going to war against God. There may be somebody that's listening right now, and the devil is promising you the same thing, that if you will just reject God, if you will just put yourself in opposition to him, life is going to be easier. There's going to be less misery. There's going to be less heartache. God's been holding out on you, and so it's time to do battle against him. I want you to know that the devil always has been and always will be a liar. He can't deliver on the things that he's promising. You know, I have a philosophy that I like to live by, and that is under promise and over deliver. I don't know if you've ever had somebody that set a deadline for you and then they couldn't meet the deadline, but that doesn't breed a lot of confidence in them for future projects. So, you know, I like to say, you know what, we're going to get this done. We're going to have it done by this date, but if we can get it done earlier, we're going to try and get it there. The devil always overpromises and underdelivers. Oh, the check's in the mail. We're running just a little bit behind schedule. You know, I know I promised you that, you know, this drug was going to make you feel better, but, you know, a bad batch or something like that. I want to encourage you, don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that adopting hostility towards God is going to lead you to a better life. It won't. It will actually lead to greater hardship, greater misery, and greater suffering, and ultimately your eternal destruction. You don't want that. Jesus is true. Jesus is good. The devil is bad. The devil's a liar. And so I tell you what, I want to be on the other side of that 1,000 years where I am ruling and reigning with Christ. I'm telling you, that's going to be the place to be, not in hostility towards God, but in humility before him and watching what he can do in us and through us. That's where we're going to end up today. Don't end up where the devil ends up where Jesus wants you to be. And that's seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Spinning like an autumn leaf, bound to hit bottom sometime. Where would I be without someone to save me? Someone who won't let me fall. And bigger
it breaks than I'd ever care to confess. Oh, but you're the